rapid recap of UConn's 62-48 season-ending loss to South Carolina in the Final Four. It felt like everything we saw in Fort Worth continued on into this Final Four game, and it had nothing to do with the rims, it had nothing to do with the balls. The Huskies just could not get enough offense going against a really good defense in South Carolina. AZ Fudd and Sarah Strong did not have particularly good games, and South Carolina just scored the little bit more than they needed to get the win, and they made the plays that they needed to come out on top.
Yeah, just the offense could not get going. It was 6-21 for three. I feel like it stands out glaringly because they took a lot of threes. And I mean, South Carolina's defense forced a lot of threes, but to go 6-21, it's just really hard to recover from. And UConn scored 48 points, the fewest points they've scored since that 2022 national championship game against South Carolina, which honestly kind of went pretty similar to this one.
Yeah, it did, where UConn fell behind. I think South Carolina came out in the second half with a 12-1 run, or maybe 12-2 run, yep. And UConn could never gain control. They got back within two at one point in the fourth quarter, but they just couldn't close that gap. They couldn't get that next stop and that next basket to either tie it or go ahead. South Carolina just consistently played from ahead, and then they rip off an 11-1 run to finish the game that ended the Husky season.
Yeah, and I think they just couldn't get enough from Sarah Strong and AZ Fudd. That's really what it comes down to, right? Like, I think when you look at these numbers, you brought decent contributions from others, but you just needed a lot more from the two of them in this moment. And they both have an off night together for probably the first time all season at just the most unfortunate possible time.
Yeah. Whenever we talked about this team, it was, you know, you're going to get this many points out of these two, and then look at what everyone else can do. Ashlyn Shade had a great game. Yeah. If Ashlyn Shade scores the 10 that she did, and Sarah and AZ even combined for 30 points, that might be enough to get you through to the championship. Kaylee Heckel, I thought, played phenomenal off the bench, even if the stats don't say it. I think one second guess is Sarah Williams started the game really strong. She had their first 4 points. She had some really good rebounds, even though she didn't get credited for them in the stats. And then she gets put on the bench pretty quickly and just never refound that groove. I don't really understand that move, but like, they got a decent performance from everyone else. It's not like Blanca was what she was in the regionals, or Ali Zabel went off, or anything like that. But if you weren't getting a good night from AZ or Sarah, there's really no way that you're going to go win that game.
Yeah, I think when you look at these games and the teams that you're playing at this level, like, you need your stars to have big nights. It's really hard to win without that, and without that, it just wasn't UConn's night.
It honestly felt like watching this game, UConn never got a chance to play a team of this caliber in South Carolina. I think it's rather unforgivable that the Big East's schedule expansion is the reason these two teams didn't play. If UConn had seen this before, if Sarah and AZ had dealt with this level of physicality and attention, it would be a lot different this time around. They would know what they're going into, but I think until you see it, it's really hard to prepare for it, no matter what you do in practice, no matter who you play. And just the things that they relied on all season, they couldn't do tonight, and that was their downfall.
Yeah, exactly. I thought, like, with the first half, I was like, okay, maybe, like, that's probably the 30 hardest minutes of basketball they're going to play all season, right? Because they haven't played anyone of this caliber. You have to do it for the first time. But they just really weren't able to make the adjustments at a halftime after that, too. And it was just the 60, or the 40, I don't even know how many minutes we're in a game right now, 40 hardest minutes of basketball that they played this season. And it just ends. It ends up ending their season early here.
Yeah, I really feel like, having watched that game as it was going, I kept having the thought of, like, man, even if they get through this game, where do you feel good about them going into the national championship? Because it's three straight games that the offense can't get it going. Tonight was their worst shooting night, but I haven't looked at three-point-wise, I imagine. But four of their five worst shooting performances of the season, I would imagine, came in the NCAA tournament. So something broke for them. Someone figured something out, and they couldn't get past it.
Yeah, exactly. It all came kind of falling apart at the time that you really don't want it to fall apart. Like, I think in hindsight, you would have rather this happened in January in, like, a game against South Carolina in February, like they usually play. But instead, it happens here.
Yeah, and then we get some fireworks in the not quite post-game handshake between Gino Auriemma and Dawn Staley, where Gino makes a comment to Dawn obviously takes offense to it. They start yelling at each other, have to get separated by their coaching staff, by the officials, and then Gino walks straight into the locker room. When the final buzzer sounds, everyone else goes through the handshake line, including Don, without incident. I thought that was a very uncharacteristic moment from Gino, yeah. Who I think a defining trait of his has always been being gracious in defeat, and that did not feel like he did that there.
Yeah, agreed. It was, I think, surprising. Like, I don't think we've, like, think about all the Final Four games that they've lost in the last however many years, and, like, I don't think we've ever seen that. So it was odd.
Yeah, Gino said afterwards that it seemed like it started at Gino did not say this. It seemed like it started because Gino perceived a slight when Don did not come over to shake his hand immediately. He said he waited 3 minutes to shake your hand pregame. Then he was frustrated with the way Don was treating the officials, and then he was frustrated with the way the officials were calling the game. And it seemed like it was a lot of frustration that boiled over. He did not apologize post game. He doubled down, said he said what he had to say. And yeah, just a bizarre incident to cap off a season that has a very bizarre ending, all things considered.
Yeah, between the way the game went and the post-game situation, I don't know that you could have a more bizarre ending to this UConn season.
Yeah, so we'll just leave it there. We will be back for a full-length pod to break down the game in more detail, to really think through this season, consider, you know, what went wrong, what even could have happened, and what the future looks like. As AZ Fudd said, I'd be terrified to have to play this team next year with 10 players coming back. So I have a pretty good feeling we will be in, I believe it's Columbus,
yeah,
next Columbus. Year. And we'll see if they can get back on top. But that'll do it for the last rapid recap of this season. And we will be back on the pod wave soon. Bye.